We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
On the back half of the show, we speak with podcasters AJ Nutter and Dr. Catherine Whiteley about their podcast series Self-Identities, which interviews women who are serving life in prison for murder. You definitely want to stick around for that conversation, but up front, what you just heard were the beautiful sounds of the Harrisburg Singers, who were established in 1984 and have evolved into one of Central Pennsylvania's premier choral groups, comprising of 40 members, and these 40 members blend their voices seamlessly to create captivating performances. And on Friday, April 26th, at the Holy Lutheran Church in Hershey, they'll be kicking off their 40th anniversary. And today on The Spark, we welcome Susan Beckley, the artistic director of the Harrisburg Singers, and Brianna Eckelmeyer, the managing director of the Harrisburg Singers. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm a sucker for origin stories. I always want to know, how did somebody get into something? How did you start a thing? Susan, we'll start with you. How did you first get involved with the Harrisburg Singers?
Well, I was involved as a singer, actually. Mm-hmm. When Ron Sider started the group, he wanted soloists from Central Pennsylvania mm-hmm. to come together and sing. And so I auditioned for him. I think it was in 85. And I became a soloist with him. Mm. And so I have been literally with the Singers since 1985.
Wow. So then how did you get into singing? Was it a sibling, parent, extended family? What's your origin story in singing?
It was my mother. Mm. My mother taught me until we couldn't get along and agree anymore. That was where I started, mm-hmm. and I actually wanted to go to medical school for almost 8 years, and found out that math was not one of my best subjects. Mm. So, and I was getting requests to sing, so I went ahead and started singing, and got into going to college for music. And
Now, for these requests, did you begin singing in the church? Was it a talent show? Where did folks hear you to be like, oh, man, I need more of that voice?
Well, I started in the junior choir.
Oh, okay.
And in church, and I sang there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then when I went, and that was till my senior year, and then I went into college, and I was a soloist and a singer in the Gettysburg College Choir.
Wow.
And continued for grad school. And people heard me. I don't even know how many weddings I did.
Oh.
And different, banquets, mother-daughter, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing early on.
And what was it about the Harrisburg Singers in 85 that made you want to throw your name into the hat, so to speak?
Well, Ron wanted to do larger works with less rehearsing because of the people he had. Mm-hmm. And I heard them, they sang the creation, Haydn's creation, that first time. No, that was the Bach B-minor Mass. But anyway, I heard them and wanted to be a part of it because I was a soloist in the Central Pennsylvania area.
Oh, all right. So, yeah, and we also have here Brianna Eckelmeyer, again, who is the managing director of the Harrisburg Singers. So, Brianna, can you tell us your origin story. How did you first get involved with the Harrisburg Singers?
Sure. Excuse me. So My husband and I got married in 2011, and we moved to this area after college. And I literally one day sat down and Googled choral groups in central Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
I had been away from singing for about 3 years after college. I was working and doing a lot of traveling and just didn't have the time. And I thought, I need to do this. I need to get back into it. So I did that Google search, and the first thing that came up was the Harrisburg Singers.
Wow.
So I clicked on the link and saw they were doing auditions, and I was really let down because their auditions were actually when we were on our honeymoon.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, I missed it. So I had called, and they said, we're pretty sure she'll hear you, she being Sue. And so she granted me a late audition, and the rest is history. This is my 13th year with the group. So,
oh, nice.
So I'm glad that I reached out and asked.
Well, I will say this. Shout out to the Harrisburg Singers SEO team, because for that to pop up when you Googled that, I mean, out of everything that could have came up, that came up. So your origin story in singing. How did you first get introduced to this art of singing?
Growing up, I've always loved music. My parents started me in piano lessons pretty young, and my grandmother, my nana, was very big support of me singing, and she was in a choir, so I would hear her sing with her choir. And when I got to about eighth grade, I started taking voice lessons, and at that point, I really discovered that, you know, this is something I really loved and I wanted to continue. But it really wasn't until I would say my sophomore, junior year of high school when, you know, my parents actually sent me to a summer music program, choral specifically. And I fell in love with the art of choral music and just the emotion that it brings and being able to make the sound with so many other people at the same time. So I pursued that obviously during college and afterwards, and continue, like I said, after about a little break after college, I started with the Singers, and I'm actually now a student of Sue's. So so she keeps me on task.
And you said you had a 3 year hiatus.
Sure.
What made you get back into it? Like what was the tug?
A huge tug. I was missing something. I was missing something. I was, you know, in those 3 years, I, you know, graduated from college and started working in Maryland. And I was missing something. I was really happy with my job. I was planning a wedding. I was, you know, all of those things. But something was missing in my life. And I knew, I said to my now husband, my fiance, that once we get married, I need to find something. You know, I was singing in church and I was very active in church, but I needed that choral component.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Singers found the Singers, and it was the right fit. I got very lucky.
Oh yeah. So Sue, what distinguishes the Harrisburg Singers from other choral ensembles in central Pennsylvania?
Well, I would say it's our signature sound. It is a blended sound with quality and color and so forth. And the way I get that is it's almost like a voice lesson. You really do have to have detailed information about the vocal apparatus and what it can do and what it can't do. You essentially have 40 singers, 35 to 40 singers, different voices, different vibratos, because the vibrato is just like a fingerprint. So you have to blend the voices with the vibrato, and you have to work with modifying and unifying vowels and words and singing everything the same way. And a lot of groups don't go to that trouble, and that's fine, but we do. And so, in other words, if I had 10 sopranos and I blended what they were singing, if I gave them a line to sing and showed them what I wanted, then it would sound like one voice. And people wouldn't be able to tell that there were 10 people singing, because no one is supposed to stick out.
Yeah.
Now, occasionally we have a member that sticks out and they get the hairy eyeball from me. but that, I think, our sound and our ability to bring the audience in with whatever we're singing, I think, separates us.
Mm. So then, this is like a science then, it sounds like.
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Wow. So then how do you get to, or how did you get to this this scientific, artistic point of this choral ensemble then?
Well, it was just from years and years of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And from all the years of private teaching and working the voice that way and seeing the success of it, I just applied it to the group.
Mm-hmm.
And you do need to know how to keep the voice healthy and what it can do and what it can't do.
Mm.
So you have the vibratos have to be unified, and using the inside of your mouth, your lips, your throat, all of that presenting in a certain way so that we're all saying the same words in the same way at the same time. And it creates quite a community in the performers, because when that happens, and I really like to do the music in the moment and being spontaneous. So if I get a marking in that says it's, 60 beats, whatever, I usually don't pay any attention to them, to the metronome. And the singers get a little, what are you going to do here, Sue? Just watch, But when you're performing in the minute, it also brings in your audience.
Mm.
It envelops them, and you can see the reaction on their faces.
Mm. Now, before we go to our first break here, you said keep the voice healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that, and how does one keep their voice healthy?
Well, there's a certain way to sing. There's a correct way to sing so that you're not grabbing the vocal mechanism for if you wanted to sing loudly, and belting the sound the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is there's a grinding that goes on between the vocal cords. And if that happens a lot, you develop nodules or calluses. And some of the big Broadway stars have had to take breaks in singing because that's what's happening. They're yelling or over-singing. And you can see the veins popping out on their neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they're not using their diaphragm.
Oh.
And you're never supposed to sing with a sore throat.
Mm.
So if you have strep or anything like that, you're supposed to just get medication for it and let it rest. Because if you sing on that, it'll only get worse.
Oh, so then is this how some of our favorite pop singers from years past kind of lost that pop in their voice, so to speak?
It could be.
Mm.
And a lot of times, even with operatic singers, they lower the keys as they get older because that last, step and a half, they can't make anymore.
Mm.
So, and they have to know that.
Yeah.
Some of the pop singers, though, they really, their keys are just at the top of their range, so it still feels like they're working to get there.
You all are coming up on your 40th anniversary. So what significance does the number 40 hold for the Harrisburg Singers as they approach this anniversary, Sue?
The number 40 really makes me proud of the group. I am so proud of what we've done from the very beginning when Ron started it and then when I took over in 95. We have gotten better every year. And I have seen less of a turnover. I have also seen a connection with the group, with themselves and their community, meaning much more to them. Tuesday night rehearsals are big, and they look forward to that. And I've seen a lot more of that, and not just coming to rehearsal, going home and forgetting about it. It's almost like an extended family.
Yeah.
And with 40 years, we must be doing something right because we're still here.
Yeah.
And still improving and having people coming to the concerts because they want to hear us.
Mm. And for you, Bree, if you don't mind calling, if you don't mind me calling you that, like you said, we're friends now.
Right, absolutely.
So for yourself, how do singers feel about reaching this 40 years milestone?
I think for many of the singers, it is just an amazing accomplishment. I mean, there are some singers that have been with the group almost since the very beginning.
Wow.
As well. And, we've Sue said, you know, we're still here after 40 years, but not only are we here, but we're thriving. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a feeling of excitement, of gratitude, of anticipation for what's to come mm-hmm. in the future. You know, I think coming out of the break we obviously had to take during the pandemic when we weren't allowed to do public performances,
yeah.
You know, it was kind of, you know, how do we recover from this, you know, and where do we go from here?
Mm.
And the group has just emerged as a stronger presence. Like Sue said, we're a family.
Mm.
You know, we look out for each other. We're excited to be there on Tuesday nights and sometimes Saturday mornings. And it's more than just about making the music.
Yeah.
It's the connections that we've formed, not only with each other, but with our audiences as well. That are a lot of our followers are longtime audience members, and they've been with us through all of it. So
yeah, and you mentioned the pandemic.
Sure.
Now I've had different musicians and artists come up, and everybody kind of navigated that weird time differently. So how did you all manage and navigate, you know, the pandemic, the shutdown, being 6 feet apart, all of that, because I'm more than sure that posed a bunch of issues, especially with choral ensemble.
Well, we did a virtual concert,
mm-hmm.
and what was the name?
We worked with an organization called Arts Laureate.
Arts mm-hmm. Laureate.
To produce that, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so what we did was, I guess we had, I forget how many pieces there were, three?
There were three in our holiday mini concert, and then three in the spring as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what we had to do was each person had to record their own part. And then we had to put all of that together. Brie and I sat and listened to make sure there were no wrong notes,
wow.
no wrong rhythms and everything to get it all set up. And the balance was correct with, well, we have a fantastic accompanist, Tim Koch. He is just phenomenal. So we didn't have to worry about that.
Mm.
But that's how we did it. And then wow. after that, we were talked about coming back, and some choral groups were using masks to mm-hmm. sing. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. It was too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I have older singers, and they can't stand and wear masks and sing
yeah.
because, you know, I mean, the singers were called the super soakers, you know, because, you know, there's a lot that comes out besides air when you're singing.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't be 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
In a choir, you'd need a huge room like this hallway from the front to the back,
yeah.
you know, and that's just yeah. not the way. But that's how we did it.
Mm.
And then we gradually came back.
I think it was important for us to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first had that shutdown, it was like, oh, my gosh, how do we do this? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked, Sue and I talked a lot over the summer, and we worked with our board. And thank you to our board for being so supportive. But we'd said we have to do something. So mm. we came up with the virtual idea. We wanted to be able to give our audiences our sound, especially during that first holiday season, mm. Because we were all missing it. We were
yeah.
all missing being together, but even more so, we were missing the sound. So there really wasn't an option. The singers were going to be around no matter what.
And see, this is why I'm a fan of the arts, because with everybody that I've spoken with, every artist, every entertainer, during that time, it wasn't like, okay, we need to shut it down and just wait this thing out. It was like, okay, it was this kind of heightened awareness that folks are going to need us, you know, mm-hmm. and there was that responsibility that a lot of artists took during that time. And in some instances, you know, putting their life on the line, you know, so that folks can remain sane. This is why I always say that art and the arts are important. So what does preparation look like for yourself, Brie, prior to a show happening, prior to practice? What does preparation look like for yourself?
For me personally?
Yes.
Sure. So I, you know, Sue gives us music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we usually will get a packet of music at the start of each season, you know, our spring season and our holiday season. And, you know, she does a really good job of outlining where we should be looking and markings and marking your music and, you know, where we need to really focus on. So for me personally, I just like to go through all of my music at home. I can play piano, so I can play my notes. But then I also, we have rehearsal tracks that we can listen to. But really, you know, the big thing about singing is not only being prepared musically, but as Sue said, taking care of yourself, taking care of your voice. You know, I think that I would say the same for all of the other singers as well. They take it seriously and they come prepared. It's not something that we can just show up on a concert weekend and just look at open the folder and, and sing. It much more goes into it, the practice and preparation.
And then on Friday, April 26th, at the Holy Lutheran Church in Hershey, you all will be kicking off your 40th anniversary. So, Sue, can you tell us more about that?
Well, we have performed at Holy Trinity years ago, and it became our first Friday night venue. And then we left for a few years, and now we're coming back. And that's so they welcomed us back, and we're really happy that they want us to be there. Also, then we have a concert on Saturday night and a concert on Sunday afternoon as well, which will celebrate our 40th anniversary.
All right. And I want to thank you all for joining us on The Spark and just giving us this inside look on the Harrisburg Singers. Congratulations on 40 years. That is nothing short of amazing. And again, thank you for coming on The Spark.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.